It would have been so easy for me to have changed directions this morning. We're talking about the gospel, the true gospel. Some refer to it as the gospel of grace. Others refer to it as grace teaching. I don't like any of those because the Bible and the apostles used the term grace and the gospel interchangeably. They saw no difference, just like Jesus saw no difference when a man was let down through a roof and he told him, your sins are forgiven, and the man was healed. There's no difference. It all happened at the cross and then was ratified, secured forever by his death, burial, and resurrection. How many love Jesus today? Isn't that awesome? So there was a thought that I was going to right there, and I got all fired up talking about joy. You mentioned right there about the joy of the Lord is our strength. It would have been so easy for me to change directions this morning. And instead of doing that, I need to stick with theme, but I do want to encourage you. Scripture says, here's a little homework for you. I want you to go get a good concordance. Many of you, if you're not aware of it, Android, I know, has a Bible program that is absolutely free, that is fantastic. It would cost you literally hundreds of dollars to purchase the books and put them on a book stand. It's called My Sword. You might want to write this down. The King James version in there that is free, they have a King James Light and then a King James. The King James, after every single word, has the Greek or Hebrew, whether you're in the Old Testament, Hebrew, New Testament, Greek, has a number for the translation of that word, bringing a clear understanding of what is being said. Tremendous study tool. So it's called My Sword on Android. Help me out, somebody, with Apple, because I'm not familiar with Apple. I know they have it. It is called My Sword now? E-Sword. I thought it was... I heard somebody say, on a PC, it's E-Sword. I believe it's the same people. So if you're on a computer, E-Sword. Apple is My Sword. Are you sure of that? Can somebody check and see? Apple. I thought there was somebody. Gina, doesn't Chad have? I know he has that program. You don't know what it is? It is My Sword? Okay. You can go, yeah, the Android version is free. And so all you Apple users, you're stuck in the past. Come forward. Okay. We have a running gun battle. Bill will be throwing stuff at me from the... Is it E-Sword? E-Sword. Thank you. I knew something went right there. So it's E-Sword. So that's the original. That's also the same on PC. E-Sword app. Tremendous. Now, I didn't know they charged for it. On Android, it's absolutely free. My Sword.
There's a
Strong's Concordance as well. You can find all that. Gotcha. So, do a little homework. Go home and find every scripture you can. You will be surprised at the scriptures that deal with happy is he. Happy. Everybody say happy.
Happy
is he who trusts in the Lord. Paul, I believe it was, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Peter, rejoice in the Lord. You talk about every time they opened up a letter, it was grace and peace. If that's not a description of somebody who is happy, grace and peace be multiplied, not just added, multiplied, grace and peace. How many know when you have grace and peace, that is good stuff, right? You see it over and over again. One of my favorites, Psalms 37, 4 and 5 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you. You're talking about a powerful, simple promise / truth. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That is amazing. How many could lift your hands with me in here this morning and delight yourself in the Lord, knowing that He freely gives us, according to Scripture, all things to enjoy? Now, there are those that would love to douse your fire and say that it's all about heaven, and it's all about over there, and it's all about just making through. How you doing, brother? Well, I'm hanging in there. You know, the devil, he's been a pounding me. And they go on for 20 minutes giving a testimony about what the devil is doing in their life. How many know we all have trials and struggles and tribulations? But I read a word somewhere in Revelation that says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is the word of your testimony? As you study Scripture, you begin to find out that when we remember and delight in the things that God has done, how many in here have something that you can go back to very quickly that God did for you? How many in here could say, I'm alive today? I don't understand why, but I know I should be dead, but because of God, I'm alive and I've come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that something? Every one of us. And the Bible says that when we do this, it causes joy to come in. The prophet said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Now, over and over again, we see scriptures, and there's a lot more. Like I said, I could have made today's sermon about that. Here's the thing. If you are not enjoying your walk with God, if, you know, how many can remember when you first were saved? Let me ask you another question. Could you ever forget it? Let me ask you a third question. Why? You felt the Holy Spirit, but how? What happened when you were born again? I'm not talking about when you signed a card, made a decision, turned over a new life, bawled your guts out because you divulged all your sins to God. That doesn't make you born again. Born again comes when there is a heart revelation by the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead, and something supernatural takes place. You believe to your toes that truth, and it transforms you on the inside. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. So I'm going to ask the question one more time. We had some good examples of, I had it just hitting here and there, but I want to ask you something. When you were born again, why is it that you still remember that? But what was the change? So when you got a new heart, when the Holy Spirit came in, when you got all that, what did you look like? Did you look like this? Oh, well, I guess. Who is it on Winnie the Pooh, the donkey? Oh, well, Eeyore, I guess. This is good. What was the difference? Remember the old hymn we used to sing? Some of you, I grew up in church. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full. Good old Bartoon. Did you know that? Do you know most of them old hymns were the rock and roll of their day? That was a good old lift the L high. Bartoon. And they changed the words. For a few of you out there that are stuck in your religious rut, they're good old bar tunes that they changed the words to because people could remember them. And then they put the word of God in them so that people would remember it. So here's how it sounds. Are you ready? Lift up the cup of salvation high. I forgot how it starts now. I want to drill blank. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. Speakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Were you this bad in Sunday school?
Let's try this over again. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Start over. We got to do this better. I know you did better than this in Sunday school. Here we go. One, two, three.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Oh,
and in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to say, I've got the,
there you go,
and I'm so happy, so very happy, I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Yes, I'm so happy, so very happy, I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
You didn't think I was going to make it, did you? Let's try that one. Come on.
I've got the wonderful blood of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
Whoa, stop. Whoa. I'm not going to let you get away with that in here. Let's try again.
I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart, I have the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the... to stay...
Yeah! Come on! So, I ask the question again. When you got truly born again, saved, as they say, what was the main thing? Why is it that you remember it so well? Somebody was saying it over here. Seriously? We just sang, I'm so happy, the joy of the Lord. Come on, people. That's like we kick into, hold on, because I heard you. Hold on just a second, I'm going to let you say it. Here's the deal. We kick into our religious mood, and it's just mode, and it's just mood was right to begin with, actually. Mood, and we kick into our religious mode, and it's just like we're in church. We're in the squares. And we think in the squares. The church is square, the chairs are square, and I'm a little square. Come on, people.
Jesus came to live in me.
Uh-huh.
Jesus came to live in me and to take permanent residence. And the glorious joy of Christ.
And the glorious joy of Christ. Man, how can many of you can remember the joy? How many knew, even when you were, that everything wasn't, like you didn't win $1 million. Your gray hair on your chin or the top of your head, or lack of hair at all, didn't change. We're doing all right? But you were full of joy. That should be the marked, the main mark trait of the believer. The Bible speaks of laughter, a merry heart, doing good like a medicine. Paul speaks of whether I'm in tribulations or times are rolling good. When I have everything I need or when I don't have anything I need, I've learned to count it all joy and to be content in the Lord, not content with my state per se. That might get confusing. What I'm getting at is if you're just always a dollar late and a day short, something's wrong because the promises are clear. He doesn't just supply your need, but my cup overflows. But how many know we're going to face trials? We live on planet Earth. We're going to face some things that are difficult. And there are going to be times, whether it's true or not, your perception will be, I'm in serious trouble. Or there may be a change in life or a change in direction. And a time of sowing and reaping when it seems like there's nothing there. Paul says, whether things are working out the way that I think they ought to be working out or not, there's a key here. The Old Testament, like I said, I'm almost doing it anyway. There's an Old Testament scripture that speaks of, in the Psalms, speaks of a sacrifice of a shout of joy. A sacrifice of a shout of joy. Sometimes the best thing you can do when the struggle is on is to get a little crazy. Maybe you need to get alone in your pickup and take a drive if you think people are going to think you're nuts, whatever. But shout unto God with a voice of what? Triumph. It may look bad right now. But let me roll back, because that's a whole separate subject. We'll deal with it one day. I love that whole theme right there. But a marked trait of a new believer is joy. Joy. And this joy comes out of a knowledge of love. Somewhere the gospel was preached. Romans chapter 10 says how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them that preach religion. That preach the tenets of our denomination. That preach all the things that you can do to deserve God's love. That good news. If it's not good news, people, it's not the gospel. You know, when I first said those words back about 7-8 years ago, I said them with fear and trembling, because I was raised in hardcore holiness Pentecostalism, and to be joyful was not part, for the most part. Now, that's not entirely fair, because I remember the whole how we love the Lord. Not taken away. I'm so glad that I was raised in a Christian home. I do not look back on that with regret and wish somehow. Thank God for my background. At least I was taught a fear of God and a love of God and a lot of stuff. And it was blended with a lot of nonsense. But how many are glad today that at least Jesus was introduced to you and He made a difference in your life? Three of you. So we're going to have a revival tonight, starting tonight. It's an altar call, and I want everybody. How many today are glad for Jesus? Amen. All right. So a key note of this new life in Christ is
joy.
Do you remember there was a guy in my dad's ministry? I would have been probably somewhere between 8 and 10 years of age. We lived in the San Gabriel Valley, California, about an hour and a half outside of LA against the foothills, back before it went crazy. And, or was going crazy at the time, I guess. It's amazing, because I remember we lived on actually one of the camps of the old San Gabriel Valley Ranch, and everything was still intact. There was an old partial log home across from us, and then the house we lived in had been built sometime in the 40s, and all the horse corrals, and there was a rodeo grounds next door. Jackie and I went there. I wanted to show Jackie that beautiful area. It's just wall-to-wall duplexes. Completely changed area. But I remember at that time, my dad, you know, this was in the early 70s. There was a guy, and I wish I could remember his name right now. I can see him as clear as day. Big, tall. This was during the hippie era. You know, if you remember. His name is on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it doesn't matter to you. But I remember he wound up at a Bible study, a house church thing that my dad was having. And I don't remember the name of the town. I can see it all. And I remember him coming. He'd had a typical hippie past at that time. And came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of the first songs that I wrote as a young man after being filled with the Holy Spirit has his testimony as a young guy. However old I was at that time, I never forgot what he said and what my dad repeated telling that testimony. And this is in the middle of tough old traditional holiness. But how my dad loved God, how he loved people, and the love shone through in spite of the packaging. And I witnessed that. Another thing that's really important, here's a good little rule of thumb for parents. My parents lived, even though there was a lot of traditional thinking and legalistic thinking, my parents lived honestly in the home with each other and with us kids what they lived in the pulpit and outwardly. And that had the obvious effect on all of us children. When my dad pursued the baptism in the Holy Spirit and pursued the freedom in the Holy Spirit and began to find those things, the family was able to follow him and trust that direction. And it's made a difference in all of us. At 16, 17 years of age, I wrote a song. It says, "Oh, your love is so great, it truly makes me want to sing. Your sweet presence follows me throughout the day. You become such a special part of me, and I a part of you. I've learned to understand your love, how sweet it is. And I'm changing every day the way you want me to. And I'm singing," I can't remember exactly how it all, if I actually sang it. No, I'm not going to do that this morning. Because I'd do what I did just right now. But anyway, the second verse says, "Well, they come to me and say, what makes you smile that way? Ah, then I tell them of the greater one that lives within and how you set my life free from sin." And I can't remember some of the other words. And then I talk about in the second or third verse about those that trust the gospel and how they walk away, don't know what to say, or can't say anything but, "It sure is a nice day." That phrase right there, someday I'll have to do the song so you know what I'm talking about. I actually have it recorded. Maybe we'll play the recording. I don't know if I can attempt it or not. My voice is a little higher then than it is now. And the song has quite a range. Folk. And at any rate, that phrase right there comes from, I just remembered his last name, can't think of his rather, Van Heusen. Dad told for years, when he received the Lord, he said that guy came alive and shone. How many have seen this? Just shone with the light of the Lord. And he couldn't put into words. Dad says, "Well, how you doing?" He goes, "It sure is a night." Big tall fella like Alan Jackson, blonde hair, long, good looking guy, I remember. He says, "It sure is a nice day. It sure is a nice day." And he made the comment that I've heard so many. He said, "It's just like the sky's bluer and the grass is greener." What happens? How many remember that? Now I have a question for you. Not for everybody, but maybe for most. What happened? Most believers look like they've been sucking on sour persimmons frustrated, angry, upset. It's okay, relax. God isn't surprised by that. He has all of it in the Word. "Cease from anger," he said. "Submit to one another. Esteem the other higher than yourself." He deals with all these things, and we have the epistles, not written to us, but every bit of it for us by the Holy Ghost. Men haven't changed. We have the same issues. Thank God we have the same Holy Spirit who continues to speak through His living Word today and directly to us. Hallelujah. I'm very glad for the Word. Jesus, alive in us by the Holy Spirit. But the number one thing is joy. Now, for me to stand up here and tackle this like I used to and say, "So if you don't have joy, there's something wrong with you." How many know the reality is we live in a fallen world? We're going to face struggles. And how many know the very fact that we're preaching the gospel of grace? Grace means this: unmerited, which means undeserved favor. Once again, I want to announce to you, if you don't deserve it, if you, in your behavior and in your own doings of life, don't deserve the favor of God, you qualify for grace. Paul dealt with the same thing. The religious, who they think it's their job to play Holy Spirit and bring a balance to it. Paul had to keep backing up defensively and saying, listen, I'm not saying that because to make grace abound more, sin more. He makes it very, very clear. We're going to get to that. Nobody here is saying that sin is not an issue anymore. Just live like you want and everything's okay. That is an absolute lie. But if you've put your faith in Jesus, confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, if you're a new creation, and that's all it takes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, period. It's not complicated. All right? And you've put your faith in Jesus. God said, that's enough. Now, I don't care what anybody else has said. The Bible says to you, that's enough. As far as you and the Father are concerned, He sees you through Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. Now, there is a work of God for our flesh. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Say this. After He has made it implicitly clear that this salvation is not by any kind of work, that it is a complete and total gift from God, that we are made like Him and made one with Him through the supernatural regeneration of the Holy Spirit by our faith in Jesus. Our obedience wasn't even involved because you can't obey in your flesh. Otherwise, what's the purpose of a Savior? What He required was belief in the obedience of the Son. Now, if you were here last week, you understand that the importance of why Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. Big deal. God can fulfill His own law. Oh, but wait a minute. It is a big deal. Because He wasn't fulfilling it for Him. He was fulfilling it for you. So when you are in Christ, you have fulfilled all the law. I'm going to show that to you in Scripture. Now, the same book that starts to unravel rather rapidly, machine gun fire, where we're in our study now for a number of weeks, Galatians 1, is very careful to bring a balance for people who, in their immaturity, take that in a wrong way. We're made brand new on the inside. The same writer of Romans in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, after making this implicitly clear, saying incredibly audacious things like Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, fear of punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Religion is busy. Most churches are busy helping people help themselves modify their behavior so they can qualify for God. And there's always a dark backdrop of, what if I don't quite live up? And with that dark backdrop comes insecurity, a stutter in your walk with God, a stutter in your confidence, a stutter in your ability to speak the love of God. It hampers our joy. It robs us of our peace. And it is amazing. Right now, with this little group right here, you can feel it, and I understand it. I'm not condemning you. But, oh, man, you better be careful. No, I don't. No. Hebrews clearly says, worshipers once purged, for them they are perfected forever, and there remains no more consciousness of sin. If you are more sin conscious than you are Christ conscious, you're not walking in the freedom of your salvation, and it robs you. It's like having, I got a hole in my bucket. Hank Williams. Listen, man. Hank was right. Without an understanding, we got a hole in our bucket. We're leaking. Romans 12:1. Paul nails it down. And then he says, now, brothers, I beg of you. It's literally what he says. Implore means, I beseech, in the King James, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. I beg of you therefore, brothers, that you now, because of who you are, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What is this? What is this talk? This is only possible if you are brand new in Jesus, one with Him, pure, righteous, and holy on the inside, completely. This is what Romans reveals. Says that we were made joint heirs. The Greek means that you were made new to the degree that this new you was joined as one with Jesus to the exclusion of the old on the inside. Religion is not telling you about who you are, but who you gotta be to qualify. I'm here to tell you that the way to overcome alcoholism, the way to overcome drug addiction, the way to overcome depression, the way to overcome demonic harassment, the way to overcome a spirit, a divisive spirit, the way to overcome is still the simple gospel. You must believe that what He did for you was enough and it is complete in you. Colossians tells us that we are complete in Him who is the head. What he's saying is the main guy at the top has declared over you because of your faith in Jesus that you somewhere, a part of you is complete. I grew up in old Pentecostalism, where every time we had a revival, I was getting saved, scared into the middle of next week by the most scary preaching. I never knew the security of my salvation. I never lived one day in confidence. By the time I got to my teen years, I was already struggling with, does God even really exist? The struggle was already having its because I was told, yeah, you got saved by faith, but now the rest is up to you.
meet in the middle, neath that old Georgia pine. Beautiful song. But it's a lot of people think that's the way it is with God. We ain't meeting in the middle. You do your part and I'll do mine. He did it all. Like 1,000,000th times, 1,000,000th too much. All you got to do is receive. When you got born again, what was the main thing that marked your new life in Christ? The joy of the Lord is your strength. For what? For what? You think there's going to be a lack of joy in heaven? On any level? Then that word is for here and now. So let me back up. Let's repeat it. The joy of the Lord sometimes it'll be a sacrifice of joy. I react weird sometimes to news that isn't good. My wife knows this. I laugh. I know it's probably a personality trait, but it started long before I understood it. I'm very glad today, the joy of the Lord. Why did it stop? Because you lost confidence somewhere. Somebody, something robbed you of your confidence in one area. My wife's sitting here this morning, and I hope I don't embarrass her, but she grew up in a very troubled home. God did some tremendous work there in her home. But there was this always, we've talked about it, and I hope you're okay with this. You can fuss at me later. But this foreboding sense of disapproval. Parents who love you, but disapprove. A sense of disapproval. Thank God for her own walk with the Lord. Thank God for her mama, even though there was a struggle, because she was struggling with her own sense of disapproval. This is how it gets passed on. This is not a generational curse. This is a lack of understanding. Let me back up to Romans 12:1-2. So that we don't lose that, here's what it says. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy, not law, not you better do it or else, but because of the mercy, because you're not getting what you deserve. That's what mercy is. Grace is you get what you could never deserve. Mercy is you're not going to get what you do deserve. You study it yourself. You want to argue with that and haven't studied, you don't qualify for the argument. So submit yourself this morning to the Word and hear what I'm saying to you. He says, you're not getting what you deserve because of everything I've just said. So because of that kind of mercy, I beg of you now, new on the inside, that you present your outside and your mind to God, which is because of mercy, you're reasonable. It's like, duh. Religion says, you better do this or everything I just said is wiped out. That's not what Paul was saying. Paul said, everything I just said is absolutely, all the flaps are nailed down with 16-penny ring shanks with washers on them and they're never going to come up. So now, because of the new you on the inside, I beg of you, it is necessary for you to know this. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
And then he gives the how in the next verse. Be not conformed. Conformed means shaped. The pressures of life will melt you into liquid sometimes. How many in here can say amen? Give a good Pentecostal amen. Can melt you into liquid. But you still have a decision about what form you're going to be poured into. And what you're going to look like when it's all over. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye therefore transformed. What's he talking about? The inside is completely done. He's talking about the outside. How many know it's important to walk like who we are? Religion says walk this way to be. Righteousness, the gospel says, because of your faith in Jesus, now walk like who you are and watch what I'll do with that. That's entirely. I'm very glad for Jesus today. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove. In other words, experience, know, put to the test the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me give you a clue as to what that is. This is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you. Walk in it. And watch how that your blessing will move from the inside to the outside. The world needs to see Jesus, but they'll never see him until you get a smile on your face and laugh once in a while. But it is hard to do that when you have been duped into believing that he loves you sometimes, but most of the time he disapproves. Ruth, sitting right here in front of me, says disapproval is, what's the word you use? Destructive?
Destructive.
How many know you can disapprove lovingly of a particular thing that your child does and express that in love? Correct. Correction with direction. But if you don't have the guts to do that, and you just constantly are walking in disapproval of your children, it curses them. We're told to speak life, to sow seed. Now, when it comes to our Father, until we get the question of what the gospel really is, we will always have a sense of, how you doing today? How's your walk with God? And you'll see people literally when that's mentioned in public like that, just break. They'll instantly go, well, I hope it's... Say amen or oh me. The purpose of our message, the purpose of looking at Galatians is to remove the hope so. The knowledge. Peter put it this way. 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness has been given to us freely through the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I know you've heard this stuff a lot and some of this repetition, but how many see a whole new unpackaging taking place? You can never preach this hard enough, far enough, deep enough, ever. Because it is until you hook up with what God has done, until then, you'll have a hard time walking in what God has done. Would you say with me this morning, the joy of the... See, even in here as I'm sharing this, It is amazing to me because we've been programmed. If I were sitting there, I'd probably be doing the same thing. It's like, I'm a failure, huh? Well, as you say, if you hang with us, man, it's the opposite. Walk out of here saying, man, there's something exciting and alive and different and changed and new, and I need to begin to believe that and walk like it and speak it out of my mouth and understand that there is absolutely zero, less than 0% disapproval from my Father. When He looks at me, He absolutely sees me as He looks at Jesus Himself. I absolutely need to get free of this disapproval, this chain that has been over my mind and over my life and draped around my shoulders and holding my hands behind my back, causing me to be impotent in my walk with God. No power! Or we get little. Every once in a while we'll have a day where we feel good in Jesus, and because we feel good, then we break through and we have a little flash of power and God does something through us. But the rest of the week, we wake up blue. Or somebody walks in and says something stupid, and the thought of our mind is, you blankety blank, 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 blank. Don't look at me like that. There's not one in here that's righteous. No, not one, save Jesus Himself. And if you're righteous at all, it's your faith in Him. I get so tired of men of God like me standing up with suit coats and ties and putting themselves up to be compared to saying, if you walk like me, you'll have power in your life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You have power already on the inside of you just as much as any man in a suit. There's just one thing. There's just one thing. Somewhere He tapped into. I believe that when I stand in this gifting, that God's going to move. There's a problem with that. You should never stand in a gifting. This is why you have men that stand in great gifts and turn around and do crazy things. And you have baby Christians that go, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. Because we teach congregations to look to men. Here, I want to unveil Jesus to you. I said it once before, and you need to pray for me and my family because everyone is vulnerable. If I were to fail miserably in ministry in the future, if I preach this right, it won't even wrinkle your faith in who Jesus is in you. And if you can get that clear, you'll bolster me and those like me more than ever before, and it won't take place. I'm not saying it will and that I depend. You understand what I'm saying? But we got to get this right down to the nitty gritty. Are you here today? Your faith is in Jesus. You need to get your eyes off men and realize that when He is unveiled, that's what makes the difference. Would you lift your hands all over the place today? Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, I suppose we call ourselves a Bible church. I normally preach. I mean, I give umpteen different scriptures. You can't accuse me of not preaching out of the Bible, but this morning you might could, although I've quoted a bunch. I don't have time to amplify what I wanted to amplify this morning, but I believe I've amplified what was supposed to be amplified. Here's what I want you to know. If you're in here and you're walking into this new and you don't have any background, you haven't been here the past however many services, I want you to know one thing. Religion is mean. It hurts. It doesn't do much good for anybody. I hate it as bad as you do. I hate the process of just showing up and doing a religious, sanctimonious group of rituals and walking away feeling good because I prayed and gave and, hey, at least I was in church today. We look around and we compare and we this and that. I'm not talking about this group. I'm talking about another church. You guys are perfect. In Christ you are. That's the point of this. I don't know how many guys and how many camps and in how many in the cowboy world had already been conditioned by the time they were 18, 19, 20 years of age, had turned their back utterly and completely on God because of what they had seen in so-called believers. Religion. And in whatever your field is. And the guys that they had seen, likewise, were the way they were because they struggled with the very thing I'm talking about right now. Because somebody else told them, it's all about you behaving. You better behave. Stop this, don't do that, don't do this, don't run with her, don't do this, don't go this place, don't go, the whole don't thing. And you try so hard, and you fail. Galatians, this book that we're supposedly supposed to be reading today, says that the law actually strengthens sin. When you try to do the law, it actually causes sin to come out of you and be strengthened and show itself. I've given the example many times of the Apostle Peter, who before Jesus died, said, Lord, even though all these other disciples forsake you, Peter, rock. Peter, Petra, stone, rock. Peter, I will never forsake you. This is the same dude. I've said it the last three Sundays. I hope it's getting through. That amid cursing and swearing, denied three separate times in the same night that he even knew who Jesus was. If I'd have been Jesus, I'd have said, okay, sucker, you're going to get what you deserve. But Jesus said, Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat. But Peter, I want you to know something. I love you, and God's got a plan for your life. And I don't care what it looks like right now, and I don't care what it looks like over the next few days. I've prayed for you, and God has good things in store for you. It may look like an absolute disaster right now. But if you can dare to trust. John, four different times, if I remember right, said, I, John, the apostle, whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved them all. He loves you. He's no sin. But John got it. And for some reason, while Peter's cursing and denying in fear, John is standing supernaturally at the foot of the cross, and Jesus says, John, will you take care of my mother? Yes, sir. John is a picture of Psalms 5:12. He surrounds me with a shield of favor. If you can dare to believe the gospel. The thing is that I haven't even preached the gospel this morning. I've given you a lot of examples about what it does and what it looks like. But as we begin to come right down through the middle, it's going to challenge every religious bone in your body. But let me tell you something. Hebrews laid it plain. Hebrews said, for the one who believes, he is perfected. Your Bible, this isn't a Mormon Bible, this isn't a Jehovah's Witness Bible, this isn't the message that gives grandma's biscuit recipe next to your favorite verse. This is, your Bible says very clearly, they are perfected forever and there remains no more consciousness for them of sin. Joseph Prince had it right. If you can get free of condemnation, you'll walk more like Jesus by accident than you ever did on purpose. I know I've repeated this, but I told you we were going to just really slow down, hit the Jake brake, and go to the middle. He loves you right now just where you are. He is not embarrassed by anything that you have done. You do not need to walk out here going, whew, man, I got a lot I got to do. You don't have to do diddly. Believe in Him for the first time ever. Dare to believe that His love was enough. For God so loved the world that He gave the world. Ephesians and Colossians both say, when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, it was at that time that He loved us enough to translate us through the power of His resurrection into the kingdom. It was at that time when we were dead in trespass, when we were at our stinkiest and our ugliest. And you think that He can't handle you right now? He knows everything. He sees everything. He sees you in your worst, worst times, and His love superabounds towards you. Your inability to receive that and embrace it because of religious crap has caused you to live in a cycle of defeat. But there is, Hebrews says, a place of rest. The writer to the Hebrews urged them, leave your works and move over into Jesus. If you get over into Jesus, you've been taught all your lives, if you do this, if you do that, and you got to do the six tenets of the Jewish faith called the foundations of Christ found in Hebrews 6, and you got to do all this stuff. The writer of Hebrews is saying, move past that into 7. 6, the number of men. 7, perfection. Jesus Himself. Leave the old behind. Move into Jesus. In Him, there is rest. Come on, how many would enjoy some rest? Rest. One of the things that I struggle with the most, pastoring, is you're just here and visiting, phone, talking in your truck, and you're just doing like this. And you get done at the end of the day, and you go, what in the world did I do? I look back, and did I produce anything? Well, I lifted this one, and I talked to this one, I prayed with this one. You know, when you split a cord of wood and stack it, you're tired, and you feel good, and you look, and you see it neatly stacked, and everything is set, or two or three or four. And you go lay down and you say, it's done. And you just can just, something about that, you just fall asleep. You remember when you used to, except for those who make work of God, and then it turns into a whole other thing. Work of God, that's a whole other issue. That's the same as any other form of ism, alcoholism, whatever, or whatever. But how many know that working hard and then completing something provides a type of rest that is awesome? Some of you are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. That's scary. You know, in my world for years and years and years, it was horseback. 10, 12 plus hours. You got home. Man, the minute I stepped out of that pickup, walked in the house, got a belly full of dinner with the air conditioner on, or if it was a cool time of the year and it was warm, the wood stove was going, man, you could hardly get me from the table because I was already gone. Pictures of rest. A work completed. Looking back and saying it's done. And then resting. Do you know that there should be a work completed, stacked in order for those who are in Jesus? A ceasing now from labor and a rest in Him. This is what Hebrews speaks of. Oh, I'm really glad for a rest. But you know, if you don't know that, if you're always feeling insecure, if you always have a sense of disapproval, it's hard to believe God for a miracle. It's hard to believe God for tomorrow. It's hard to step out of that depression. It's hard to dare to believe that the future could be bright. So bright, you got to wear shade. It's hard to believe any of these things because for you, your walk with Jesus, your Christianity, if you would, is a burden. Could we just really, this is kind of sobering. I realize it's 11:30 and I'm in danger of preaching till noon again and I'm trying so hard. Pray for me. But listen, listen, I receive, Vic. When did your walk with Jesus become a burden. Do you realize that's an oxymoron? So it would pay us to back up, get our head out of the bucket for a moment, shake the slop off and go, how in the world did I get here? I'll tell you where. The minute that you grew enough in Jesus that somebody came alongside of you and began to try to prop you up. It's great what Jesus has done. I told you it's going to be good, brother. But now, if you don't mind your P's and Q's, here's the one I love. It'll be worse for you than those headed completely taken out of context. We'll deal with that scripture on another day. That's not for you. Now, it can be manifested in the flesh. How many know some people who got born again, completely changed, like my father-in-law, got back in a mean, traditional church, a pastor who loved the Lord, but in his confusion had embraced shepherdism, which is a form of teaching in which you hear from God through him, who you marry, what you buy, the car, you drive, the house, everything you hear from God through him. That's cult. I don't care. You can call it whatever you want. I'm not saying that people aren't going, but that's cult. Well, that's not the gospel. And because he went from abuse, got saved and went right back into abuse, he got bitter all over again. And for him, the latter part of his life was in many ways worse than before, but it doesn't mean that he didn't have a real change in his heart. It's because he got bad information and now the war was on. You ever known anybody like that? That's why churches should be teaching the truth of the gospel. If my father-in-law, what were my words to him as a well-intending young son-in-law? Don, you need to get the sin out of your life. Don, you need to submit yourself to Christ. Don, you need to stop this and stop that. Don, you need to... Well, heck, if we could do that on our own, what do we need a Savior for? If he could have known that in his most miserable moment, the love of God had not changed, that his approval was based on the one that he had believed in, it would have had an impact in his life that would have been completely different. And Don would have experienced the joy he is now, but he would experience the joy of his salvation. The key to freedom. Sorry, Daryl, I couldn't help it. People, the gospel is good news. Why are we wasting all this time out here with all this other stuff? How many love Jesus today? Oh, with fear and trembling, I pick up this Bible because it's time to quit. Galatians, are you getting anything out of this? If you could go out of here today just simply embracing this truth and saying, man, I got to get back and hear some more of this stuff. I got to get, because all my life, and it hasn't worked. And if you had admitted in here, this other way doesn't work well. Insecure. Struggling. Ashamed. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians. Well, we're supposed to be studying Galatians, so I may as well read a verse out of it. I'm going to jump forward. We're going to go back and read because I feel it's important where we left off to read the middle because it shows how human Paul was and the struggle that he was having. And yet the discourse of the Holy Spirit through his struggles to us, as he rises to the occasion and challenges those who are trying to bring back Jewish tradition into the church and saying, for you Gentiles, excuse me, to be saved, you got to submit to Jewish law along with being saved, or you can't receive our Messiah. And Paul is saying, no. And then he begins to defend his apostleship and begins to tell how that he received the gospel, this gospel we're talking about, by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul was the most prolific writer of the New Testament that we have in our hands today, understood. Even Peter, who in his writing said, there is a special blessing for those who believe and have not seen. He said, we saw him like John. We beheld him. We touched him. We handled him. We ate with him. We experienced who he was when he was here on earth. But he said, blessed are you who have not seen him but believe. This is Peter. And Peter submitted himself to Paul's writings and said, listen to what he's got to say. He refers to it as a revelation of Paul. What was Paul's revelation? Paul began to see Jesus in all of the old. Paul began to see what this salvation was. He began to remember he didn't have his own writings to go after. He was looking at the Old Testament in the light of a new covenant, and he saw what the whole deal was about. So I'm going to jump forward for today and look at Galatians 3. And here's where he opens up. I mean, he lines the cannons up, charges the barrels, drops the ball down the end, and lights the wick. Boom! Here he goes. Oh, you foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? This is strong terminology. Deceived you. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. What is the obedience that he is talking about? It's not all of your doing, but it is in your believing. And this is what the book of Galatians is all about. He says, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? He's asking a question. Or by the hearing of faith? He's saying, how were you born again? How did you receive the Spirit living within? Was it by works? Your attempts to qualify? This is, listen, let me just one more time, just a little wake-up call. This is what most of the church, even those purportedly preaching grace, it's still about what you got to do. Let me tell you something, we've got it backwards. Romans 10 says that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and that it was foreordained by God that we should do before, foreordained by God, that we should walk in these good works. You got to get the carrot back out in front of the horse. Aren't you glad that if we get the first one right, works will be an outflow of who we are? I gave this example a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to give it again. If somebody walked up to you and said, Joe, I found out that you've always dreamed of such and such. And he names some astronomical, massive gift. And says, God moved on my heart, and I had the means. Here it is. Be blessed. How would you feel? Humbled? Happy? If a few of us men were honest, they'd say, suspicious. What do you want? You gotta want something. You're after something. You're after something. Okay? But they gave you, if it was genuine, How would you want to respond to that guy? The same question came up. Yeah, the same question came up in our men's group, and I'm repeating this from a couple of weeks ago, but for those that weren't here. And I love the response because he said just what many of us in here say, I'm very suspicious. I said, then let me switch it for you a little bit. What if your wife, who you love and trust, found out she had an inheritance and she was the one who said, honey, here it is. He goes, oh, that'd be entirely different. How many degree that'd be entirely different? There's love and there's trust there. Now there's overwhelming gift is yours. What would you want? What would be your response to her? You'd want to do anything you could. You should want to already anyway, but you'd want to do anything. I mean, you'd do anything. That's the way that work should work in the life of a believer. But we don't, religion has told us that there's disapproval. The gift is only partial. The love is released as you deserve it. We don't understand the superabounding grace that has come our way. When you get a hold of it, works is an automatic. Lord, what can I do for you? It's the opposite. Religion says do so that you become. The gospel says become and know. The automatic will be do. Okay? This is the new life in Christ. Let me go back to Galatians and we'll try to finish this up. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Now listen, we're not using this at you. On the contrary, that's the last thing I want to do. Paul is frustrated at the group of people who now are dragging law and legalism back into the church. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh? What he means is, you got saved by believing. How do you think now you're going to maintain through your works? You have suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Look at this, and I've got to stop right here because I can feel already, if I go any further, we're going to bog down and we're going to lose the impact. And I want you to walk out of here rejoicing in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many are getting anything out of this series? Opening up what the gospel is. Unveiling Jesus. He says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. How many in here have put your faith in Jesus? If you haven't, this is a great day to do it. Amen. The Bible says that you, the same, are the children of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel of Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so they which be of faith are blessed. Come on, are you in here this morning? Blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, but it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live By faith. And we're looking at the tip of the iceberg. Wait till you see where we are going. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. There should be no sense of disapproval from God. Let me tell you something before you go. A husband who is not complete, listen close. I'm going to wait till everybody's seated and they're doing what they're supposed to do. So this is, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. But I'm going to wait till we got no distraction at all. A husband who senses disapproval from God, a father who senses disapproval from God, will struggle with expressing that same disapproval to those under his care and around him. A mother who as a little girl never had that sense of approval from dad or mother will have that, and she'll reflect that on her spouse, reflect that on her children, and it causes untold hurt to take place. Now listen, this is not supposed to be a sobering, negative ending today. I want to encourage you today that right now, it's never too late to start over and get a hold of these truths and open up and be more confident in God than you have ever been. The knowledge that what Jesus did was absolutely enough. The knowledge that his approval of you is through the eyes of Jesus, that you can walk with confidence in the new you, and this will have an impact on your impact on others, those around you and those under you. Do you realize the impact that will have in a marriage? If you're not looking to your mate to prop you up and disappointed when she can't, but you're confident enough in who you are in Christ and learning and growing that you're willing to look at your failures and go, I don't like that. Help me change this. It stops the comparing. It stops the jostling. It stops all the measuring. And we all stand before him knowing we all got issues. We all need help. But one thing we know, there's not an issue between me and him. So because of that, I can boldly look at what's here and say, Lord, by your mercy, I am offering my life a living sacrifice to you, trusting. In youth ministry years ago, we knew young ladies that hated themselves. They were beautiful. To look at them, you would all say, she's model-esque. They hated themselves. They thought they were ugly. I've had to go in with my wife and clean up the bathroom in the church where they would go and purge constantly. You could see the effects of it on their life. Where was it coming? You sit down and talk to them. An overbearing sense of disapproval, a lack of any confidence in all in who you were and what was going on in your life. Let me tell you something. There is freedom in Jesus. It's about time the church wakes up and stops trying to tell you what you got to do to fix and begins to encourage people to look to Jesus, who is our all in all. How many know in him we are complete? We doing okay? Who is the author and the finisher of our faith. This stuff is heavy and deep. I honestly don't know where to stop most of the time. So I just want to pray for you. Then we're going to stand and be dismissed. I'm going to remain up here with those that will help me pray. I'd love to be able to pray with you. If you're not born again, if you've never been saved this morning, you're in the right place. I want to encourage you to come back and hear the rest of this because you're going to hear the radical gospel of Jesus Christ and find out that it is everything to do with your believing and nothing to do with your doing. That your doing will follow freely and beautiful along with the believing. Believe right, and God will produce in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Right there where you're sitting. Father, in Jesus' name, Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, I know that these things that we're speaking of today fly in the face of so much of what we've been told. But Father God, I thank you that your word is still true. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Father, I thank you that for those who have become one in you, what a miracle that we can stand before you without any fear, without any doubt, without any sense of unworthiness, without any sense of shame, without any sense of anything being held back at all because of our faith in Jesus. Father, I thank you today that it truly is not by works, lest any man should boast, but it is by grace through faith that we are saved and that we walk. Father, for your people here today, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the unlocking power of the Holy Spirit as we examine the work of Jesus once again that sets us free. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I thank you for the peace of God, the rest of God, a confidence that surges like never before because of who you are. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, you receive that?